Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Tom Neiman. I had the distinct pleasure of being here about 3 years ago. I was asked by Rob if I would come and talk about what we call the good old days. And I don't know if any of you were here 3 years ago when I got up and told a few stories. Anybody here that night? Shit, I can't tell those stories again. And at the time, I got up, got the stories. I said, well, I get a free dinner out of it. I see some old friends. What a good deal. Sat down, and lo and behold, Rob pulled a fast one on me. And that night, I was inducted into the Pinball Expo Hall of Fame, something I'm very, very grateful for. He called me this year, and he asked me if I'd come back. And I said, well, gee, I told him all the stories. I can't do that again. He said, no, I'd like you to come back and help us induct someone new into the Hall of Fame. And I said, well, great, what are we talking about? Well, at that point, he said, and I'm going to tell you who it is, rather than the big, you know, ba-boom at the end of the night, it's my good friend Paul Ferris, who's sitting down here tonight. So we're going to start. Which I said to him, now wait a second, you went so far down the list you inducted me, Paul Ferris isn't in the Hall of Fame yet? I mean, how does that happen? So I said, well, of course I will come back and do that. We'll do that immediately. So that's what tonight's all about, in addition to Gary's beautiful deal. Joe, great job. Very interesting to see all that history on the screen. I think we all enjoyed it, and Gary, congratulations. I said, sure, I'll come back. Boy, I get to come back from Chicago. I live in Las Vegas, where I've been out there for the last 15 years. And was it Russ, the fellow who was up here before from Las Vegas? We all get that jacket when we move out there. Mine's green, and thank God I didn't bring it tonight. I almost grabbed that one, so he had the blue one on, so there's two colors. So I said, yeah, I'll come back. I get to come back to Chicago, my hometown. I have family and friends here. I come back to this event, I get to see so many people who we had the wonderful opportunity to work with, and I get to see my very good friend, Bill O'Donnell, who has been good enough to, he came 3 years ago when it was my night, and then he's here with me tonight. And Bill, thank you very much. Many people have come up to Bill tonight, and they see Bill, and they think, well, you know, Bill O'Donnell, there's the O'Donnell name, the bally name of that everything was built on, Bill's father, and of course, Bill. And you all see him that way. Well, I see him, as I said, as a very close personal friend for my entire life. But I also see him as the guy who gave Bally Pinball an opportunity that wasn't there before. Bill brought a style, a panache, a thinking outside the box that allowed opportunity for so many people, myself included. And for that, I will always, always be very, very grateful. Thank you, Bill. Paul Ferris. You all know Paul. He's come back here many, many times and have done the signings. You all see Paul Ferris and you think, wow, there he is. There's this guy we've all heard about. Some of you have worked with him. Some of you have worked in competition with Paul. But you've seen that name on the glass. Well, I tell you what, I see Paul in a different light, I believe. Like you, I see him as a creative, an artist, the guy, the genius, as far as I'm concerned, who brought together and brought to life so many great games for us at Bally. Games like Xenon, where we used Suzanne Ciani's voice and did that for the first time. A lot of fun. Games like Paragon and Centaur. To me, creative games, games that took a thought process that was very unconventional, took a risk, and succeeded. And that's very, very important, I think, in life, that we have the courage to take a shot and do things that haven't been done. Paul was just incredible at that, of coming up with these creative insights into concepts and ideas. But in addition to artist and creative, Paul was very much a mentor, a manager. Bill Jr. Interviewed Paul and had a vision. He had a vision to create an internal graphics department, an art department within Bally. And he needed someone to manage that. Now, stop and think about all the unique characters that are the artists of all the great pinball machines, the Dave Christensen's, and there's so many unique personalities. Imagine managing those minds. Walking in and saying, you know, you come to work at whatever time, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, we try to get out of there at 5 or 6 o'clock at night, and you've got 6 weeks to knock out this new glass, as if creativity was something that came out of a faucet. Well, here's the idea, go to work, sit downstairs, and you've got 3 weeks to give you a rough sketch, and then we want to see a finished art, and and I gotta tell you, I'd go down there sometimes, and I'd walk into Paul's area, and there'd be that big blank sheet of paper, and he's staring at it. And I go, well, Paul, come on, Jesus, we gotta get this game out. Show's coming up, we gotta crank this thing. And he'd look at me, and he'd go, do you just think it's a button I hit? And all of a sudden, these ideas come out. But not only was he a creative, but he had the unique skill set of managing creatives. I mean, that's like herding cats. I mean, it's impossible. You can't get them to say, here's your task, we're on this timeline, we have to do it in a cost-effective way, and oh yeah, be wildly creative and come up with something we've never seen before. So to me, one of his great skill sets was that he could manage that process. But at the same time as he was managing that process, he himself was producing great artwork, much like the games I mentioned. I mean, look at the talents that have worked for Paul with the Greg Ferris's and Kevin O'Connor's and Christensen and Margaret Hudson and Pat McMahon, Mary Beth Bush. I mean, the names that have just gone on and done such wonderful things. Well, they did it because they had a wonderful mentor, someone who helped them and showed them the way and nourished them and got them inspired so that they could come up with this artwork. And believe me, that is a huge challenge, and no one did it better than Paul Ferris. So thank you, Paul. But beyond creative, beyond mentor, he was an innovator. Paul was never satisfied. He was always looking for another better way to do things. And what he discovered, and I can't jump into it too deeply because, again, it's beyond me, but the UV ink silkscreen process that you introduced at Bally, I believe, put a unique look and feel on our glass that even our competitors looked up there and said, I don't know how they're doing, but God damn it, looks good. And his stuff does look good. It was creative, it was bright, it was vivid, it was bold, and it resonated with the players. And I think the process as he introduced at Bally was innovative, out-of-the-box thinking. And it just fit with Paul Ferris because that's the kind of guy he is. So it's that innovation that was inside you, that you fought. Yeah, I know you had to fight to get it. We talked about that tonight, to get that process put into place. It actually cost more money to get that equipment. But he did it, he fought it, he won it. And again, to me, that puts that stamp of innovator on Paul. But I'll tell you the last thing about Paul, and we'll actually let him get up and speak. Was that I see Paul as a collaborator and as a friend. 3 years ago, when we talked about all the various licensing games that I got very fortunate to get involved with from Wizard to Captain Fantastic and Evil, and all the licensing games that we were fortunate to do, the first person I turned to when I had an idea or we read about something was Paul Ferris. I bounced everything off Paul Ferris. Why? Because I trusted his opinion, his perspective on things. He could see it, he could feel it, it was inside of, and he, sometimes we backed off stuff. I'd be excited, he'd go, oh, I don't think so. He'd come in all excited and go, boy, we've got to look, we've got to follow this all the way through. And we had some incredible opportunities presented to us. We had some very, very interesting opportunities as we traveled to look at licenses and negotiate deals. Paul and I traveled quite a bit together. He was with me. There's a picture I see all the time, the approval process for the KISS game. Paul and I are backstage of a show that was in California, Magic Mountain. They were shooting a movie or a TV show or something. And here we are, we got the artwork spread out on the hood of a car and KISS in full regalia as they're about to go on. And they're looking at the artwork and we're trying to just sign the goddamn thing and get it approved. And Gene Simmons wanted to be taller and one wanted to be bigger and more buff and whatever. And we're going, sure, just sign off on the approval process. We'll get that later. One of the most interesting ones that I recall was a game we had called Playboy. Now, we had done the deal in Chicago with Christy Hefner, Hugh's daughter, and actually closed the deal. And then one day a phone call came and the other line was Hefner. And he says to me, I understand, blah, blah, blah. He said, I've got some ideas and I'd like to show you what I'm thinking. Is there any way you could come out to the mansion? I think I was in Bill's office in about 30 seconds with the travel voucher thing. Could you sign this? So Paul and I go off to the mansion for the first time. And obviously we're, these hayseeds from the Midwest. We're agog at the whole concept as we drive up the mountain there. Up the hill to go up to the mansion, Joe. I'm sure you've been in there a few times. Yeah, saw him kind of licking his. Did you ever go in that little pinball house, the little room behind it with the mirrors? Paul and I go there, and we're just entranced. And lo and behold, in sweeps Hef and his royal blue silk jammies and a bottle of Pepsi. And we're going to go through his ideas. So we laid the paper out, and he's talking and gesturing and doing all this. We'd go on for, an hour or so like that. He goes, you know what? To get the feel for this game, let me give you a quickie tour of the place. Oh, okay. So we're walking through this, and he's pointing things out. Now, Paul is looking at everything, and he's going, oh, my God, that's an original 1926. It was a couch or some goddamn thing, and he's telling me who designed it, and this piece of artwork, and this. And I'm going, that's Miss Marsh. Wait a second, there's July. And Paul's overlooking at the couch, it's the son of a bitch. Paul, keep up with the program here. We're on our way to the grotto. Of which he did go into the grotto. Honest to God. A warm, sunny day, there's talent all over the place. And we really wanted to get a sense of what this game was going to be about. And Paul goes, well, I think we should go in the grotto. We went in the grotto. Boy, there was some crazy stuff going on in the grotto. Now, Paul was pretty good. He soaked stuff up quickly. It manifested itself in his creativity, and lo and behold, quickly on his board, he'd start drawing. And he's working on Playboy, and he's got this idea, the granny characters in the corner and things like that. But he'd keep coming back to me and goes, you know, I need more inspiration. We got to go back. Well, I think we knocked down, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 trips to the mansion for that project, just so we could get it all, you know, capture the whole essence of the Playboy story. So Paul was so dedicated on that game, honest to God. Can we go again? Had a great time. So I see Paul. I see him as this artist, this creative mentor, innovator, and most importantly, collaborator and friend. And that's the Paul Ferris I know. I think the Paul Ferris you know. I think it's lo and behold, long, long overdue that you welcome him, join me tonight in welcoming Paul into the Pinball Expo Hall of Fame. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Ferris.